officer received to their interpretation. Counselor Joe Daly.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. My first question is as follows. Following a number of recent incidents, what steps has Harrow Council taken to protect our public spaces from being illegally broken into and inhabited by travellers?
Thank you, Amit. As you may be aware, and you certainly are, we have had three family groups of travellers illegally entering several of our open spaces recently. Entry is usually gained by breaking or cutting off padlocks. However, recently entry has also been by cutting through an iron railing fence and essentially moving an extremely heavy boulder. In the light of such concerted effort, it was very difficult to totally protect the 560 hectares of open space across our borough. To further illegal encampment, we are ensuring wall gates and vehicle blocking posts are kept locked. We're also ensuring additional measures at some sites, such as welding the gate shuts or constructing small bunds. When these incidents occur, we take swift action to regain possession of the land. We've been working closely with the police, and the more recent actions have been at the joint police council effort, with the police using their powers under the Operation Bramble Protocol, which is normally known as Section 61, which usually leads to us taking gaining possession within 2 days, as against the 2 weeks it can take the council using its legal powers at the magistrates' courts. We're also exploring all possible legal options to stop further incursions onto council land.
Yes, please, Mr. Mayor. I thank the leader for that answer. I'd just like to start by actually thanking all the officers involved, especially if I can quote Dave Corby. And our Chief Executive, who have all gone beyond their remit to help with this situation. We were in touch with them at 10 o'clock at midnight, 1 in the morning, because it was such a panic. And as you know, these groups of travellers have gone to several sites, Stanmore Marsh, South Harrow, Cannons Park and so on. Whitchurch, Plainfields as well, and Headstone Manor. I mean, we have an issue in the borough, and it's only a matter of time. We know the force that they have, and they don't care about anyone. We know this is an issue. What's the legal stance that we can take? Surely there must be something we can do to, as my colleague, our deputy leader, has suggested as well, because we need to be ready, I regret to say, for the next incident.
Leader? Well, you won't be pleased to learn that it looks like we've had a number of incursions tonight while we've been sitting here. But there's a number of things that we can do and we do. And when you're talking about hypotheticals, I might take a bit, just a few minutes on the answer itself. So with the council, what we...
Point of order. Do we know where it is tonight?
Sorry. Come here. Do you want to give information where it is?
I want to take issue with the comment made by Councillor Amit about travellers not caring about anything.
Sorry, Ben, you can't comment on it.
He didn't say that.
The question.
He didn't say that.
He didn't say that.
It hasn't been verified yet, but it looks like it's back on Moon Farm Park. But the point is, now there's a number of things here. Dave Corby does a wonderful job. And I've been out with him, because you need two people to go out to issue these notices about exclusion. And it is a difficult, challenging thing to do. So the council, first of all, we have to sort of make declarations of land. You have to do investigations by the social services department. That's just do inspections around their safety and making sure they can move. You then have to ask for time in the magistrates' court, and they decide amongst the level of what they think is the concerns that have been raised of when that date will be. We haven't got the magistrates' court across the road anymore, so we have to go over to into Brent. And we sometimes can take over a week to get those dates locked in, and also to give the evidence. And even when we have given evidence on some of those cases, the magistrates turn around and give them more time to make a representation against the council about moving on. Theoretically, they should move within 14 days, but once the court action starts, sometimes they don't move until they wait the outcome of that court action, and then they know that they've got the court order, they can make those to move. So this is a restriction through the council, and because they do have protections under the statutes around the traveller community, and the council can't just go in the tow truck and tow them off like some people think you can do, and there is lots of legislation around what we should do. And it is right, actually, that most of them who come in are quite well behaved, they stay for a couple of days and move on. We've witnessed in the past year some very challenging behaviours from some of them. And that's what moves me on to the police. Under Section 61 of the Police Act, or even 61B, if there is the number of tests have to be proved, that the council can prove that it's given notice it wants them to move, they are causing significant, and that word is in the law, significant antisocial behaviour, and it's among causes as well, then the police can give notice for them to move, and that's what we did within Canterbury Park and on Richard Plain, because they broke an entry and that's antisocial behaviour, which passed that test. But even then it took time because the council has to pay out to get them to move. So it doesn't leave us that much of optimism around having to help to get people removed. We should be reopening up one of the traveller sites as an option, but in the past that has caused even more antisocial behaviour amongst the families that arrive. We have a process in place that's agreed with the police, and I have to say, when you say thank you to Dave Corby, I would also like to say thank you to Inspector Tanya Sprunks, because she got the same label. And the challenge was the operations team from the police, the response teams couldn't come into Harrow because they were dealing with significant violent crime outside of Harrow. They didn't have the resources to come in. So the Safe Neighbour team actually clubbed together to move them out. It's not something we would have if the police properly funded, I suppose, because we have our borough commander who could allocate resources appropriately. The council is operating in exceptionally difficult circumstances. It will operate within the law, and it does so, and it will make those arrangements where necessary. And that's all we can really do. We're in a situation we can't change.
Thank you. I mean, second question.
Thank you. My second question is as follows. Cannons Park has fast become the forgotten part of Harrow. Fly tipping is on the increase, the station parade is being neglected, and maintenance has been all but abandoned. What reassurances can Harrow Council give to local residents that they will prevent any further deterioration of Cannons Park?
Yeah, I actually would totally disagree with you that Cannons Park is a forgotten part of Harrow. I was over there last week, and I normally go there quite regularly, so we actually take quite a lot of pride across the whole borough. And in Cambridge Park itself, so it's a thriving area with a green flag park, which is a very proactive park user group who I meet on a number of occasions, and they do a lot of work around that area, and the council officers respond back to them so we know exactly what's going on. And Cannons Ward is regularly cleaned and swept, and Cannons Parade is cleaned daily through litter picking and spot sweeping, with street bins being emptied around the same time. We have cleaned the service area behind the shops, which has become quite a challenge, and removed new buildings and many builds up to excess waste from this service road. We remove a number of fly tips in this area, ranging from bags to white goods. We are committed to removing fly tips within one working day from when the council is notified, which we know most people do through the app, but it's also done online if neglected the following day. And we also try investigating some of those fly tips to see if there's any evidence where we can prove to have moved prosecution. And that's happened on a number of occasions that have been in the press recently. We also treat the area for weeds, and this was done last Wednesday on the 10th of July by the quad bike. Great little machine that is. You've got to wear the old mask when you're driving it, it's quite nice. But these points demonstrate that we are doing the very best to ensure that Cannons Park is not being left to deteriorate, instead has a very bright future.
Yes, I did, Mr. Mayor. Thank you. I thank the leader for that answer. His response is opposite to the response we had from officers when we had a site morning early this morning. Fly tipping hasn't been collected. The service road officers have said hasn't been cleaned for months. And the weeds, I thank officers for killing that last Wednesday, but that was only after months and months of chasing. My question to the leader is, going by the cycle, the Howry Road estate is scheduled to be cleaned every 2 weeks. The verde cross, the green verges are scheduled to be cleaned every 3 to 4 weeks, and the shrubs are cleaned in the summer from June on a cycle of 3 weeks. But these cycles aren't being met, and you know, I'd rather the council be honest to residents and say they'll be done once a year or never, rather than sticking to these, at least everyone knows where they stand, rather than having these deadlines that clearly aren't being met. So what can the leader do to make sure that either these deadlines, routine cleanups are met, or that he's honest with residents that they're unable to meet these deadlines?
Leader?
Yes. I am always honest with residents, I always have been, and I set out exactly where we stand on a whole range of issues. On a lot of the service roads, if they're not council property or council owned, it's down to landowners to do, and we have taken action against some of them. But it's a very lengthy process to go through. It's with people who deal with Wallace and Way will understand that it's been going for 18 months for legal action to try and get that delivery cleaned, and it's still ongoing. So it's very time consuming, and we do not have the resources to do as many as we'd like to do. We don't actually clean the shrubs, but we do cut the grass on a regular basis. You can't cut it when it's raining, so they try and reschedule today's over as weekends when it's possible. And they have had trouble in the past about recruitment in some of these areas, but that is now back up to where it needs to be. There is enough, the staffing is based on the grass being cut every 3 weeks, the streets being swept every 2 weeks, and the parade being done daily. If there's a shortage of staff, we can't get people in, that might be delayed something, but that is normally the schedule we work to. The upgrade to the IT systems that are coming in or already in place on a number of areas will actually detail when things are actually done and when they're not done, so they'll be able to clearer understanding, because sometimes people don't see them, so they don't see it being done and think it hasn't been done. But those sort of things will be quick type construction on the new website. The innovative things that Paul was talking about earlier, but the updates to the website will include to find out when the streets have been swept and the grass has been cut.
Thank you, Leader. We moved on to item number six,